This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
We got shots fired at 415 ASF. Route 291, sounded like an automatic firearm.
169, Sammy, they have shots fired.
Way up, I see the shots coming from Mandalay Bay. Halfway up. We have an active shooter. We have an active shooter inside the whereabouts.
Shots fired from Mandalay Bay. There's many people down. Stage left. Just be advised.
We have multiple casualties. GSWs at the medical tent. Multiple casualties.
And that is the police scanner from Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome to Washington Watch. This show is powered by the Family Research Council. I'm Russ Jones, filling in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council, and I'm the producer of this show, a 30-year media veteran. And friends, the Washington Watch flag is at half-staff in honor of those who have lost their lives in Las Vegas. Breaking news overnight, a massacre in Las Vegas, at least 58 dead and over 500 wounded. We'll talk with John Torres, a former Department of Homeland Security executive, about the killing rampage. Horrific, horrific news. And then Carrie Saravino. She is the chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network. She will be here to discuss President Trump's latest round of judicial nominees. And will the Supreme Court take on a heartbreaking surrogacy case? Irina Grusso, the director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council, will be here with those details. And then we will go to Las Vegas and talk with Pastor Matt Tyes. He's been in the midst of the chaos there, visiting people in the hospital. He's been on the ground. He was at the scene of the massacre last night. He's been light in the darkness. And of course, we'll take your calls. And a quick reminder, the Values Voter Summit, it is coming up October 13th through the 15th. For more information, go to valuesvotersummit.org. And of course, you can follow the efforts of FRC. You can go to frc.org. Washington Watch programs are archived there. You can listen at the gym or at your job. Just don't get in trouble while you work out. You can follow Tony on Twitter. He's at T Perkins, at T Perkins. You can follow me at Russ Jones Speaks, at Russ Jones Speaks. Well, as I mentioned, at least 58 people were killed, 515 injured Sunday night when a gunman opened fire on a music festival crowd from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. It was the deadliest shooting in modern USA history. And as I said, the flag here at Washington Watch has been lowered to half staff. With us now is former Department of Homeland Security executive and security expert John Torres. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on, Russ.
Well, you have been at this a long time, and just give me that initial thought about this deadly attack.
Horrific tragedy, and probably as a security, as a person who works in the security industry, or previously in law enforcement, this is also a horrific nightmare. It's a game changer, and obviously it's a nightmare for everyone involved, but this is one of those incidents where, as a security expert, you look at what can you do when you have an active shooter shooting from a raised perch nearly a quarter of a mile away. It's just insane.
Well, this is, John, this is what we know. The gunshots lasted for 10 to 15 minutes. I mean, that just sounds like an awful long time. Authorities have identified the shooter as 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Mesquite, Nevada. Police said officers had breached the hotel room where the shooter was located and found the suspect dead. Authorities believe he killed himself. And police said they believe that he has acted alone. But 10 to 15 minutes, I just can't imagine.
Sure. And so one of the things that we see when we're trying to design security at arenas, festivals, stadiums, is how can you control crowd flow at the same time while trying to improve security? Because we want everyone inside the venue to have a good time. That's what they're there for. And mm-hmm. so we look to push the perimeter out. But in this case, the perimeter is as far out as you can get. And so really, you have to look at two different things now. You have to look at the intelligence, with the business community and local law enforcement, as well as also taking a look at what you can do for crowd flow control.
Now, John, you were in the Department of Homeland Security for a couple of different administrations, and you know, how are you seeing our government responding, and just what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the government initially, the response is going to be taking a look at the investigation and definitively ruling out that this shooter was not working with anyone else. They're going to take a hard look forensically at all his communications. They're also going to take a look at his travel patterns and history, and they're going to interview his girlfriend, relatives, friends, and associates to get as much information as they can, because they certainly want to rule out that there might be anyone else involved and there could be another threat somewhere else. And then beyond that, as a government, you have to take a look at how can you work with, specifically speaking with Homeland Security, how can you work with businesses and venues like this to make it safer? That there is something out there now that we call the National Security Special Event Designation that we use for things like the inauguration or the Super Bowl or large types of events, but that comes with very costly security. So what best practices can you take from that so that you can implement at events like this, indoor arenas, outdoor or festivals? There are a number of different things that you could probably do, and hopefully the government will take steps to provide training to some of the security experts here.
Now, early in this, just after this event this morning, ISIS took credit for the shooting earlier today, but government refutes that claim. So is ISIS just that desperate for a victory because things have changed? We've got a new sheriff in town.
That is quite possible. That is absolutely possible. And one of the things that ISIS and other organizations like that, Al-Qaeda has done it in the past and other terrorist organizations, is that they want to take credit so that they can use this for recruiting purposes. They can spin this their own way. They can create their own recruiting videos, and they don't necessarily have to provide the evidence that they are directly responsible for this. But then again, I certainly wouldn't put it past them to say that they are becoming more desperate because the government has become more aggressive in facing radical Islamic terrorism.
And also, John, the shooter, he had been at the Mandalay Bay Hotel since September 28th, and the authorities said, and the hotel employees had been in his room prior to the shooting and did not notice anything amiss. And, you know, he had a number of weapons. How did you get that many weapons in a room like that?
Sure. So if you have any experience with firearms, if a person routinely fires them, collects them, buys them, stores them, it's fairly easy to disassemble them, put them into bags, which are not going to be checked when you are checking into a hotel, and then reassemble them once you're inside. And so for those of us that stay in Las Vegas or have stayed in Las Vegas in the past, there are many people that stay out to the wee hours of the morning. And so the hotel cleaning staff, for example, may or may not come the next day or within the previous 24 hours. In fact, many hotels have policies, green policies in effect, that say, hey, we'll give you extra points credit if you don't get your room clean for the past 2 days. But even in this case, let's say they did go in and check the room every day. They may have checked it no later than noon or 3 o'clock the previous day, which may give him 24 hours or more to reassemble weapons, set up a sniper's perch, and unfortunately do the damage that he did.
Yeah, I was just in a hotel over the weekend, and a lot of times I'll put that thing on the door. You know, I really don't need, I don't need hotel people in there. If I've got my computer or whatnot in the room, really don't want folks going through things. So I could see how that could happen. So what do hotels do at this point to guard against what would you call this, soft targeting?
Sure. So one of the things that we've done in the past is we've designed security or ran security for large events like this. Depending on the location. Obviously, this is a very difficult location if you've looked at the layout. Not only was the Mandalay Bay across the street with a direct view into the venue, but so were other hotels and large structures. But what we've done in the past, in some instances, where this is feasible, is we rent all the rooms that have a view into the facility on the day of the whatever event is taking place so that we can assure ourselves that we don't have to worry about something like that. Obviously, this is much more difficult because you had half the Mandalay Bay facing directly into the venue. Other things you can do, though, is then you turn around and you say, we're going to suspend those green policies, or we're going to have someone come and take a look at your room periodically, maybe an hour before the event takes place. You work more closely with law enforcement to make sure that you're running checks, as we've done with presidential visits or NSSE, those National Security Special Event policies that kick into place for specific events. Obviously, it's going to be very difficult. It's a game changer, and there's going to be a lot of things that are going to have to change here for these outdoor events.
And, of course, in predictable fashion, the left is already talking about gun control, and I'm not sure if there's any amount of gun control that could have stopped this kind of attack with those kind of weapons. You've been in D.C. Are you surprised to see that happening so quickly?
No, having spent a considerable amount of time in Washington, D.C. throughout my career, that's probably one of the things that happens best inside the Beltway here is as soon as something happens, you see the political machines for all walks here kick into gear and try to parlay or take advantage of these types of horrific events for their own purposes, you know, on both sides. But the reality here is they need this, the groups on the ground in Las Vegas need to take care of what's going on there. And you know, after a certain cooling off period, I think you can have a much better discussion with all of the facts on hand.
Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with John Torres. He's was with the Department of Homeland Security for several years, and John, it's a pleasure to have you on Washington Watch. Just in the last few minutes we have, kind of give us a peek into the Department of Homeland Security. Is this squarely fall into their wheelhouse, so to speak, and what are they doing right now?
So there's a number of agencies when something like this takes place that coordinate with each other. Even when you have a national security event, as I mentioned, you'll have the Secret Service that will be, which is an agency within the Department of Homeland Security. They will get the primary mission for protection. The FBI will have primary mission for counterintelligence. And then you have an organization like FEMA within the Department of Homeland Security will handle the response and recovery efforts if need be, if it were a natural disaster, for example. And so right now within the Department of Homeland Security, there are seven major agencies to include ICE, Customs and Border Protection, the Secret Service, FEMA, and others. They're all going to be working around the clock to pool their resources to see what they can add value, whether it's looking at travel patterns in the investigation, doing interviews in support of the FBI, and then as well as cataloging and detailing evidence and sharing the massive amount of information that is stored in the databases for people that might be on a lookout list or a watch list.
Well, John Torres, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us on Washington Watch. We'll have to have you back. Thanks again. Well, coming up next, as the high court term begins, President Trump reshapes federal judiciary from top to bottom. When we return, we'll talk with Carrie Serovino. She's the chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network. This is a little underreported story. We're going to talk all about it and how these nominees can shape the court. This is Washington Watch, and I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers.
We need you in Washington, D.C. That's right. America is built on the courageous spirit of its people, and it is our duty to preserve the great nation by sustaining religious liberty, defending the unborn, and protecting the family. Take a stand for faith, family, and freedom at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Hear from invited and confirmed speakers like President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Michelle Bachmann, Secretary Ben Carson, Ambassador Nikki Haley, Kellyanne Conway, Dana Loesch, Franklin Graham, Ollie North, Alveda King, Kevin Sorbo, Phil Robertson, and many more. This is the place to network and meet up with people and organizations that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues that will shape the future of our country. Join us at the Values Voters Summit on October 13th through 15th in Washington, D.C. Register now at valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Well, it's Monday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. And our flag here on this radio program is at half staff in honor of those who have lost their lives at the largest killing of this kind in the United States history, in modern history, the deadliest killing. Simply tragic. And you know, in a little while, we're going to talk about just the evilness that drives this kind of activity. We're going to go to pastor on the ground there in Las Vegas to get his take. He's been making pastoral calls. He rushed to the scene after this had happened in Las Vegas. And he's been making hospital visits there in Las Vegas, serves a very large church, Pastor Matt Tice. He is one of our Watchmen on the Wall pastors at the Family Research Council, and he's the pastor at Liberty Baptist Church. We're going to be honored to talk with him and just get absolute inside peek of the heart and in the scene of what's going on there in Las Vegas. But before then, have you noticed that President Trump is nominating conservatives to the lower courts? There is currently a petition, there is this move to reshape the courts, and President Trump is is making good on a promise he made. And on Friday, he announced his eighth wave of judicial candidates. President Trump is rapidly remaking the federal appellate and district courts with highly qualified nominees who fulfill his campaign promise to pick constitutional conservatives. And this news, though, is largely underreported. Well, with us now is Carrie Severino. She's the chief counsel and policy director of the Judicial Crisis Network. Carrie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, great. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. So have you had a chance to peruse this latest release of names?
Yes, and you know what? I'm so excited about this, the list of the Fifth Circuit nominees. They've got some great nominees from a lot of other courts on there. And really, I have been floored throughout at how well President Trump is keeping his end of the promise to appoint constitutionalist judges. We know he did that with Justice Gorsuch, and he just keeps on knocking out of the park. Now my concern, and for a while we were really frustrated, the Democrats are holding things up, but now I'm beginning to feel like, you know, a lot of the Republicans in the Senate are not doing what they can to stand up to these unprecedented levels of partisanship we've seen from the Democrats trying to block all of these great nominees, trying to slow walk them. We've had almost about a 50% increase in the number of vacancies since Trump took office, from 105 to now we have about 166 that we know about. And in that time, we have had about a one judge per month confirmed. So, I mean, you do the math.
It is,
the last month we had two. That was a banner month in September. Ugh. It's shocking, and it's absolutely unsustainable, as you can imagine. We've got, you know, the vacancies are piling up, and so we really need to see some movement on that. It's everything from scheduling enough Judiciary Committee hearings to not letting senators try to block on just purely partisan grounds the judges from their state. That's not what the blue slip was intended to do.
That's called letting
them run out time. Scheduling them for votes.
That's called the blue card or the blue chip, right?
The blue slip, right? The home state senator does have an added opportunity to weigh in on a nominee. It's really just a courtesy that's been extended. It's not a rule or anything even. But what we've seen is that Democrats have decided to be really partisan about that. In Al Franken's case, for example, he's blocking a Minnesota Supreme Court justice, David Strauss, who's excellent. I know him. He's also just a really nice guy, really well-respected in Minnesota across the spectrum. He got one more votes when he had to run for re-election as a Supreme Court justice than Al Franken himself did. And Franken's excuse is, well, I think he's going to turn out to be just like Scalia and Thomas, which I say, amen.
Mm.
That's right. So that's why he's blocking him. But we also have the Democrats trying to force the Senate to run out the clock on every nominee, mm-hmm. even nominees that have had 95 or 100 votes in the Senate. They are requiring to jump through these procedural hurdles that used to be reserved for someone who was controversial to have extra debate time. Now they're just making them schedule up to 30 hours of extra debate time for every nominee, even the ones that are unanimously approved by the Senate. That is an absolute waste of everyone's time, and I think we need to have the Republicans standing up to that and saying, no, you cannot weaponize this procedural process. It's going to take us a decade to get these people confirmed. If we keep going at this incredibly slow pace, we don't have a decade.
And I was going to ask you, it's fairly predictable what the Democrats will do, but it's troubling about what you're saying about Republicans. What do the Republicans need to do to move along this process?
Well, we need people like Senator Grassley, the head of the Judiciary Committee, to say, we're going to stop playing games with these blue slips. I'm going to have to schedule these people, again, like David Strauss, who's been waiting about 150 days for his confirmation hearing, and to say, you know, a joker like Al Franken isn't going to block that. To say that when the senators, Democrat senators are saying, oh, gosh, we have so much on our plate, we cannot hear more than one judge every so often. I'm sorry, we have vacancies. It's your job to help fulfill those. You can vote against them if you want, but we need to have these hearings. And then Leader McConnell has to give them floor time, because you can't – if you don't bring these people up for a vote, they're never going to be confirmed. This is a top priority, as it should be, of the administration, and I think it was a top priority of the voters last November. More than one-fifth of the voters said the Supreme Court was their number one issue, and I think a lot of those same people would say, and the other federal courts as well. This is a huge, hugely important thing that is uniting across the spectrum of people who supported President Trump to allow the Senate to not again carry its end of the bargain is unacceptable.
Well, Carrie Severino, thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. Very enlightful, enlightening. Listen, if you're listening, call your congressman, your congresswoman, and tell them to get off of it and get on to it and get these lower court nominees through the process. Do it. Do it right now. Well, thank you, Carrie. Coming up, pro-life advocates are hoping the Supreme Court hears a heart-wrenching surrogacy case. We'll talk with Irina Grusso. She's the director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council. We'll talk to her when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Well, it's a half past the hour. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Washington Watch is powered by the Washington, D.C. Family Research Council. And folks, I got to be honest, I'm just a little off my game today. My spirit is just restless from this Las Vegas massacre. I'm just troubled. I'm rattled by it. And trying to find those tools, coping tools, to deal with it, because it's a strike on our humanity, our very existence. And you know, we've been watching the best of humanity while we watch the worst of humanity at the same time take care of their brothers and sisters. And we're going to talk about that a little later. But there is currently a petition before the U.S. Supreme Court which presents critical constitutional questions relating to California's enforcement of surrogacy contracts under the state's statute. With us now is Irina Grusso. She's the director of the Center for Human Dignity at the Family Research Council, where she focuses on sanctity of human life issues ranging from conception to natural death. Irina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Russ, for having me.
Well, Irina, help us understand the importance of this case.
So this case is about a woman who became a surrogate for three children.
Melissa Cook.
Mute man who, yes, Melissa Cook. And he didn't want all three children, so he threatened her with a lawsuit because she didn't want to abort some of the children. This case is actually
very troubling. But the most troubling part of it is that as of today, right now, even though the motion to file our brief was granted, the other side opposed, and the cert petition was denied. So the Supreme Court will not be hearing this case, which is very troubling.
So currently, Irina, there are no national laws, regulations, or policies regarding surrogacy. It's state by state, isn't that right?
Right, and we have a lot of laws on the books when people are looking to adopt. So you have to meet certain standards, both in terms of health and in terms of emotional, intellectual health. But with surrogacy, that's not the case. And in this case, a man who is not fit to be a parent. He's living in his parents' basement. His parents are elderly and sick and require nursing care themselves. And he is taking care of three children, and he is deaf mute. And these children had to be hospitalized because he wasn't giving them correct care. And this is allowed under current California law. And no checks were done before these children were released to the man. And in fact, the hospital staff was so concerned about his ability to care for these children that they flew three nurses and a doctor to his Georgia home from California with the children to make sure that the children would be safe. And they aren't. They've been hospitalized at one point, and even the Child Protective Services has been called in.
Well, Irina, you write a very thorough article in The Hill, thehill.com, and you write, "The surrogacy industry preys upon women and children. It is time for the Supreme Court to review the constitutional violations inherent in these arrangements." Tell us more about that.
Well, these children are conceived with the thought in mind that they were going to be separated from at least one of their parents, and they're deprived of that relationship with the parents. And it is a contract. The way that it works, it is that it becomes a sale of children in terms of the surrogacy contracts. And the contract takes precedence over the actual well-being of these children and their best interests. So they're treated more as like property instead of what is in their best interest. And that is, you know, above and beyond what is being done in terms of our adoption laws. And we really need to take that up in terms of at the court level and in our state and federal laws, because surrogacy right now is not regulated at all, and it is endangering children's lives.
I actually read that many Americans go to India, Nepal, Mexico, Vietnam, Kenya, and Cambodia, such countries like that, because surrogacy is far cheaper there than it is in the U.S., which goes to your point that it's a transaction. It's about the money.
Right. And in fact, that's why they go, because it is cheaper. Now, the people who are most vulnerable in the U.S. are military wives. For some reason, they have a higher percentage of military wives who end up signing onto surrogacy contracts. In other countries, the women are treated like cattle. They carry the babies. They never see them, and they're treated very poorly. So it's a problem internationally. But in terms of what our courts need to take up is the regulation of the surrogacy industry, which right now is running loose, and these children are kind of in the crosshairs of this and suffering as a result. And some of their lives are endangered, especially when you have people who are not fit to be parents, given the right of parenthood above and beyond the best interests of the children.
A matter of fact, I was reading that the cost of surrogacy is about $90,000 to $150,000 here in the U.S., $12,000 to $25,000 in India somewhere. Irina Grusso, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. Very informative, as always. Thank you again. Well, coming up next, we're going to talk with Pastor Matt Tice. He is the pastor at Liberty Baptist Church, and he's a Family Research Council Watchman on the Wall pastor. He is on the ground in Las Vegas. He's going to give us an update about what's going on in Las Vegas. He's been making visits. He knows folks that have been impacted by this. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back with Pastor Tice.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful.
It was President Trump earlier today talking about the Las Vegas shooting. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And this is one of those moments that reminds us that there is light and darkness. There is good and evil in the world. And with us now is Matt Tice. He's the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas, and he's a Family Research Council watchman. Pastor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, I know you've barely gotten any sleep. I know you rushed out as soon as you heard what was going on. Can just give us, set the scene. How is your town? How is your community? Let our listeners know what's going on there.
Well, a lot of people think of Las Vegas as just a place where you go and you have fun and you see shows, and what happens here stays here. But there's an incredible community of people that live and call Las Vegas home. And this event, I've seen some of the most amazing folks just rise to the top. Last night, we were in hospitals for several hours, and the looks on those nurses' faces and those doctors and those surgeons that were just performing surgery after surgery after surgery is a testament to the fact that even in a place that many of the values we would not espouse as Bible believers here, there is light that shones forth, and there's good things that are being seen even in spite of this great darkness.
Well, Matt, President Trump said earlier that he called this pure evil, and I thought it would be important to talk about that. That's why I wanted to have you on, and because we often look at what the motives are and why did this sort of thing happen, which all of that is important. But isn't it important, especially as believers, just to simply identify, look, this is evil, and that's what it is?
Oh, of course. Well, isn't this a total demonstration of why Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on a cross for our sins, was buried and rose again so that we could have faith of a home in heaven, not through our own merit, not through our own deeds, but through what Jesus Christ has done? It's a total demonstration. I don't know all the ins and outs of what made this guy do this heinous act and sitting and crying with people for the last, 14 hours. Just reminds me that we do need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the answer for the needs that ail this world. And when you're talking with a family who's hurting, when you're talking with a family that's just gone through an incredible devastation, and the only hope they have is God, and you hear prayers going up and songs being sung in the name of Jesus, there is evil. And that's why it's so important that we as Christians not only speak the truth, but the Bible tells us that we're supposed to show love as well. And in times like this, it's so important that we show that there is a God in heaven who loves them. And it's so important that when there's issues that we must speak out for and that we speak truth to, but it's all based upon the love of Jesus Christ. And I've been able to partner with many folks over the last several hours to see that love being shown forth.
Well, I want to play an audio clip here. Speaking with CNN's Rick Bergman, Taylor Binge, he shared his experience from the horrific massacre in Las Vegas. And from a pastoral perspective, I'd just like you to hear this, and then we'll talk about it. And also, give us a call. I want to hear from our listeners out there. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Let's listen to this clip.
Once my sister and I, we started running to the left, and every time they shot, we took cover because, you don't want to be the one guy who's just standing up running, because for all we knew, that would just make us a target. But my sister, being as noble as she is, she actually threw herself on top of me and was saying, "I love you, Taylor, I love you." And I'll never forget that, but we didn't know we were safe until, we were sitting in the McCarran, one of their hangars almost. A car almost ran through the gate just to get on the runway, just to get away from that location. Because as far as we knew, there was multiple gunners, and we didn't know which direction they were coming from. And the employees at the time weren't letting us in because they didn't know what was going on. But even an hour and 30 minutes, I didn't even know if I was safe.
You said you believe the gunfire was coming from the Mandalay Bay. Did you have any sense, and it can be very hard to tell this kind of thing, did you have any sense it was coming from above, from the 32nd floor?
A part of me did, just because of the vantage point he must have had to get some of the shots that I've seen, because there was a tent, and if it were on this side and I took over here, there were still bodies on that side of people just laying in pools of blood. And I still didn't even know if that was safe or not, but you know, it's kind of a fight or flight situation. You can't really, you just got to take it to God at that point and, hope that you can make it and hope that you're safe. And I know I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I'm just, I was agnostic going into that concert, and I'm a firm believer in God now, because there's no way that, all that happened and that I made it and I was blessed enough to still be here alive talking to you today.
Oh, Pastor Matt, wow. That's a powerful statement, isn't it?
Just wow. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And you're probably seeing a lot of those kind of stories as well. But would you stay on the line with us and field a few calls? Because I think there's a lot of folks listening that have questions and, about God and life. Would you mind doing that with us for a few minutes?
If I can help, I'd be honored.
All right. Well, let's go to Jeanette in Wichita, Kansas. Jeanette, welcome to Wichita. You seem to think that people are making Trump out to be evil, but what we saw last night was actually the evil.
Exactly. I mean, social media has just been blowing up on my phone all day today, and they're making it a left or a right movement, and just evil is everywhere, but they're not focusing on what's important right now. That's what I'm seeing.
Pastor?
Well, what I would see, last night we had Republicans, we had Democrats, we had black, we had white, we had Hispanic, Asian people, and there was nobody who was worrying about squabbling over dumb, insignificant things at that time. When you're in the middle of it, there's a greater cause that I was seeing. And if somebody tries to politicize that, I would say that that is so off base and not the nature of what was happening in these hospitals last night. I've been on the phone today with Republicans, members of Congress, our city council, Democrats, Republicans, because there's a greater and higher calling. And I think one of the things that we need as a country is to understand there is something more noble than our petty differences when we are talking about issues like life. That was what was so important last night. Life was important. And making sure that communicating with each other well and getting people the needs and resources they had, that became vital last night. And not one time did I see somebody walking around with a Make America Great Again shirt or a Hope and Change shirt. People, none of those things mattered last night. The thing that mattered was life, because that's an important issue, and communication. And it's amazing to me how many of those folks even found the Lord as the center. And there's a powerful thing that happens when tragedy comes. I think it takes away the dross and puts in place that which is important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go to Jim in St. Louis, Missouri. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. First of all, prayers certainly go out to the family members and everybody associated with this tragedy. You know, when I was listening to the pastor there, he's right. There is evil in this world. And we have to remember one thing that God said that's very prophetic and truth. He said the heart of man is wicked above all things. And this is just a byproduct of that wickedness. You know, the only kind of goodness that comes from man actually comes from God. And, you know, we just have to wrestle with these things. I don't understand it. You guys don't understand it. But thank God we have a God, and thank God we have a Savior. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Jim. And I'm sure you're seeing a lot of folks there, I would imagine, that have more questions than answers. And even believers can find themselves in that place, right?
Well, you don't sit there and say, this is why God let this happen. This is why God lets this happen. What Jim said is true. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think it's a stark reminder to us that our heart, our sin has to be dealt with. And when we personally deal with our sin, not on our own merit or religious tendencies, but through the fact that there is a Savior, that's why Jesus allowed. We put God on a cross with nails in his hands and a crown of thorns upon his brow. And that's because we are wicked. And may we take this time as a place where we ascertain, am I in a place where I'm serving the Lord? And is my walk with God right? Because in that place, I'm able to reflect his love, because through Jesus, old things are passed away, all things have become new.
All right, well, let's go to Houston. They know a little something about tragedy. Tracy in Houston, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. We know a little something, but we're doing good here in Houston, thank God. Thanks for all the, you know, everybody's been great. But I just wanted to say that it's amazing that kid that sound bit you played, how God, it's proved that God can make good come from evil. I mean, somebody became a believer from that, and that's great. And hopefully that this country will, another good that God will make of it, if this country gets back to its roots and quit being so ridiculous and petty.
Well, Tracy, thank you. What do you have to say to that, Pastor?
You know, yesterday, a Sunday in services, we said this. We love, it was so amazing. We live in Las Vegas. This was said in our pulpit yesterday. It's wonderful to live in Las Vegas. We don't have to deal with earthquakes. We don't have to deal with hurricanes. We don't have to deal with floods. And we were somewhat celebrating the fact of the good weather and the good fortune that we have as people who live in Las Vegas. And yet the Lord has a way of even taking the tragedy that's happened last night and reminding us that he is in control of all things. And, man, I would ask for our brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, mm-hmm. in Houston, to pray for church leaders, Christians in this community, to stand up like they did in Houston. Man, just a testimony of God's grace when believers just are speaking truth and showing love.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And the show is powered by the Family Research Council. We're talking with Pastor Matt Tice. He's the pastor of the Liberty Baptist Church and one of our Family Research Council Watchmen on the Wall pastors. Give us a call. We've got just a few more minutes. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. I've seen on the news that there's a big demand for blood, and there's ways that people can help. Is that right?
Yeah, if going to United Blood Services, if you're local, that's been a huge issue. We're also starting to set up mobile locations, but if you can look at United Blood Services, that's been a great need. Also, if you would like to help with our first responders, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Officers Wives Organization at LVMPOWives.com is collecting funds to distribute. We had an officer had their life taken last night, which was tragic, and we're dealing and coping with that as a community. On top of that, there's 57 other lives. ExperienceLiberty.com. ExperienceLiberty.com is our church website, and any donations received through that website will go deliberately and intentionally to help the people who are affected by this outside of law enforcement or first responders. And so blood is a big deal right now. Funds are always helping getting us moving the ball forward.
Yeah, and it looks like the first responders really have done an amazing job. Let's go to Amy in Shreveport, Louisiana. Amy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I love you. I feel so much better about our world. And the only thing I was going to say, because I know you're on a time limit, was what does the pastor want to tell people about the news commentators and the people that would say that they were glad that people were killed because they were Trump supporters, which is a biased statement that country and Western people who listen to country and Western music are obviously Trump supporters and that they deserve to die, when we don't even know the people that were there. We don't know the ideology of the people who were there, and that people need to understand that the sins of your heart and the sins of your head are just as punishable as those actions. So for a man to take a gun and kill innocent people, and then for someone to condone that behavior, they're just as guilty of murder as the gentleman who killed the people. So people need to be aware. You can't think thoughts, and you're no different if you think them than if you act on them. So the sins of the heart and of the head are just as serious as those who carry out. And thank you so much for all that
thank
y'all
you. Do. Pastor, you got about 45 seconds, about 20 seconds to answer that real quick.
Last night I saw black people, Latinos, I saw Asian people. There was nobody who was carrying a banner of a political campaign or president. They were just going out to listen to country music. And that's the thing to remember. We are Americans. We are united behind the flag. And as Christians, we unite behind Jesus Christ. And that is our hope. No hope is but Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tice, thank you so much of Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas. God be with you as you work with those people. You've been listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Remember, the Lord is your strength and our shield in a time of strength and comfort. God bless you all.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C.
For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.